But when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was talking about a whole raft of things. I'm going to talk about that this morning, being complete. And as we take communion this morning, Jesus' work on the cross is complete. It makes you complete. It makes you whole. It means holistically, when we accept the gift of salvation that we want for nothing, we are complete. What an amazing promise. But out of Christ's brokenness, we're whole. So we're gonna take this wafer together. And we are celebrating, we are remembering that because he was broken, his body was beaten and broken, his spirit was broken, so that we can be made whole. Come on, let's eat together. Then, of course, his blood was spilt. The Bible says that the blood of Christ covers a multitude of sin. Isn't that amazing? Some of us need it. We all need it. But when I think about my life, I think, wow, how I need that blood that covers a multitude of sin so that I can be made pure before God, not because of my efforts, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is and what he's done for me. Wow. And maybe this morning there are people here and you think, well, I'm not feeling that whole, or I'm not feeling that complete, or I'm not feeling that worthy. It's actually not even about your feelings. It's about the reality of who Jesus is in you. And as we drink together, let's remember that his blood covers us. And God looks at you this morning. The Father looks at you and he sees you clean. He sees you whole. He sees you complete because of the love of Christ. Let's drink together. Because of the blood of Christ, let's drink together. Before we sort of move on to the message this morning, I just want to pray for a moment. We've got some news that's a little more on the sad side this morning, quite sad. But in one sense, on Resurrection Sunday, we can actually celebrate the fullness of it. So Greg Main, who's known to many of you here, passed away during the week. And I know that Greg is sadly missed, and he's been known to most of us here in church, and been a key part of our seniors group, and many people are really missing him at the moment. But, you know, it is Resurrection Sunday, and we remember that, you know, that some of the struggles that he had with his body and with his existence, he is resurrected into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And he's been welcomed into the arms of Jesus, where there's no more pain, no more crying. And he's released into the perfection of who Christ has made him. So let's thank God for Greg. We're going to pray that, you know, we know that, but we still miss people. There's still a human side to these things. Let's just ask that the Holy Spirit would just bring comfort to those that are in that place, and particularly for Greg's family too. Father, we thank you so much for Greg. We thank you for what he brought, who he was, and what he brought, and what he taught us. But right now, we thank you that he's with you. We thank you that he is living in his resurrected body. We thank you that you've welcomed him. But as we mourn his passing, as we walk through that, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're the great comforter. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that you will be ever close. So we trust you in this. For others that are walking through things and remembering the sadness of passing, Lord, we thank you that you are the great comforter. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, team. You guys are amazing. Well, welcome to church. Wonderful to have you here today. And welcome to those that are not here, people that are travelling and doing the Easter thing and some of them tuning in online. Big welcome. Great to have you here today. So my theme this morning, what I want to talk about is what it means to live beyond the cross. For Christians, you know, this is the powerful symbol. This is the symbol that identifies us. Like, where's Ben? Is Ben still there? Ben's got his crosses around his neck in full view. Ben loves his jewelry and he loves the crosses. And, you know, that's that identifying thing. There'd be somebody else here this morning that would have a tattoo of a cross, I'm sure. But that, you know, for Christians, the cross is that identifying symbol that straight away people know we're talking about Christ. And we can't really find an accurate picture of what Jesus looked like. He lived before the age of selfies, and there's a lot of conjecture about that. You know, there's the very Western Jesus we see in the children's books, and then people said, no, he wouldn't have looked like that because he was a Jew. He would have looked quite different. His skin would have been darker. You know, his nose would have been longer and so forth. But we don't really know. But when people say Jesus, we immediately identify the cross. Because the cross was this pivotal intersection of history. Even now, as our society attempts to be more secular, we're still using a before and after Christ dating system, even though it's been changed a little bit, but that's what we work on. And sometimes as Christians, we look back to the cross, and we need to do that at times, but we actually live beyond the cross. We are the most blessed people in history because we live beyond the cross. We live on the other side of the cross. And I want to talk about what it means, the reality of living beyond the cross, of living on the other side of the cross. And even though when you look at it in a linear sense, that we live historically on the other side of the cross, that many of us, even sometimes Christians, want to actually live before the cross. And we are not stepping into the fullness of what it means to live beyond the cross. So that's what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. So Jesus' work was complete and the scripture was fulfilled. So the cross finished many things. And as Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets, but I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus is the fulfillment, in other words, the completion of the law. So if you're not familiar with what the law is, it was before the time of Jesus. the Jewish people or the Hebrews, that they lived in a covenant with God, if you like. He had given them a whole raft of laws in which to live by, and he said, if you will choose to live this way, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will bless you. The problem was, in humanity, those laws, actually even the Jews even added to the laws. The whole thing got bigger and wider and more complicated. And actually, there was nobody in all of history, apart from Jesus Christ, who was able to live out the law without breaking it somewhere. So prior to Jesus, what was required was a substitute, and they made animal sacrifices that actually pointed forward to when the ultimate sacrifice would come, so that people who continued to break the law, like you and I, could actually live knowing that it was covered. But the amazing thing is Jesus, it was job done. The Mosaic law, its ordinance, its ceremonies, its sacrifices, you know what? They were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. They were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. And if somebody says to you, hey, I like some stuff about Christianity. I could do that, but I don't think I could keep all the rules. I couldn't do this, or I don't like this about it. Well, you know what? We can actually say confidently that stuff was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. It actually has no more power because Jesus came to complete it. Before the cross, a person became a child of God by birth. So if you were born a Jew, you were born a child of God. But because of the cross, a person becomes a child of God by virtue of their second birth or new birth. Isn't that amazing? So before the cross, your only real way to become a child of God in that sense under the law was to be born into it, to have the privilege of being born into that lineage, to be born with that DNA, to be born into the right family. But because of the cross, where we live on the other side of the cross, a person comes to God by virtue of a second birth. So what's the second birth? In John 3, 1:21, we read, this is the famous account of a religious person, a leader who was a Pharisee. And it says, after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. He didn't want to be seen hanging out with Jesus. He didn't want to be seen with a revolutionary at that time. So he comes in under the cover of darkness. And Rabbi, he says, we all know God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And for us Christians, we sort of have heard born again probably all our lives. I remember growing up, and the type of church we grew up in was quite evangelical, and we'd sort of use the definition of between somebody who was a Christian and somebody who was a born again Christian. Now the reality is, Christians are all born again if they choose to be born again. But we use that to define probably the difference between somebody who said, oh yeah, if I just hang around church, if I say the right things, yeah, I'm a Christian. But really, to be a Christian, you actually need to be born again. So we sort of get that. But to this guy, Nicodemus, when Jesus said, you've got to be born again, he would have gone, what? I've been born once. I don't know anybody that's been born a second time. What would he ask me to do? And he says, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. So this man, He's a Jew by birth. He's a religious leader. He's understood what it meant to try and keep the law. I think he even understood how difficult it was. And Jesus said, in the kingdom, it's not about your DNA. It's not about your religious credentials. But it's about your new spiritual DNA. So Jesus said, you know, being born of water, that's your natural birth. That's your the birth that everybody has. That you've got to be born once onto this earth. We all get to do that if we're here. Or we've all done it. We've all been born. Your mother remembers more about it than you. But to enter the kingdom, there's got to be a spiritual birth. Be born of the Spirit. It's not something that just happens by right, by lineage, by hanging around the right people. It happens through this amazing miracle of coming to Jesus. Entrance into the kingdom that Christ established is not a result of our first birth, but a second birth that is produced by the renewing and regenerating power of the gospel. The gospel, which was revealed by the Holy Spirit, allows people to be born again. And this new birth makes us a member of God's family, a child of the King, an heir to all the inheritance that He's promised long ago. We always give people an opportunity in our services to be born again, to actually accept that new spiritual birth. So I want to talk about what living beyond the cross means. So if you're taking notes, number one, living beyond the cross means we have access. We have access to this miraculous spiritual birth. Wow. Living beyond the cross means that we can actually live in the fullness of the cross. See, I think Jesus always wants you to remember what he did on the cross. And we talk about being at the foot of the cross and all those things, but his heart for us, why he went to the cross, so that we can live beyond the cross. Jesus fulfilled the law at the cross. So what does that mean? I've talked about that a bit already, but this is what Paul says in Galatians 3:19. He says, "Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through the angels to Moses, who was a mediator between God and people." So there you have it. The law was not the entity in itself. And you know, we live in a country where we've got all sorts of laws. And often laws are changed. Have you noticed that? Like there are laws that sort of no longer apply because society moves on, and sometimes we think, gee, wish they didn't change that law, or you know, that law was so out of date, because it actually changes. It doesn't always serve us as society changes. And you know what? God, in his law, didn't design that law to last forever. It was only there to show us, to show people how much we needed God. It was only there until the time was right for Jesus to come. So the law was never an entity in itself. The law was to show people their sinfulness and need for a Saviour. The law of Moses was given to the Jews, or the children of Abraham, to reveal their own weakness. It was a law that was no one was able to keep perfectly other than Jesus Christ. Before Jesus died and the gospel was preached, salvation consisted of a promise of something to come. It could only be realized when that time actually came. The promise had to be fulfilled by Christ coming and executing that perfect plan. So being born again, or living beyond the cross. Number two, living beyond the cross means you are free from the debt of the law and released into promise. Isn't that amazing? You are free from the debt and released into promise. Who's ever owed somebody some money and you know, you've gone to pay them back and said, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's all good. Keep it." And you might sort of feel a little bit indebted to them even though you've been released, but the weight of that expectation of debt has actually gone from you. So what Jesus did is he released us from the weight of the debt, but he didn't leave it there. See, if Pete comes and borrows $100 off me, and you know, at some point he says, "Oh, here's the 100, Dave," and I say, "That's no worries. Keep it, Pete." Well, that's good. He's $100 better off. But all I've done is release him of what he owed me. I haven't done any more than that. I've released him of what he owed me. So what happened at the cross is we were released of the debt of sin, of what we actually owed God because of our brokenness. But he didn't stop there. He actually said, "Okay, I'll release you of the sin, or otherwise I cancel the debt, but I'm now going to release you into a promise." See, if I release Pete of the $100 that he owes me, "Now you owe me $100, Pete," and I release him of that, but there's no promise. There's nothing. I'm not saying I'm doing anything else for you other than letting the debt go. But God said, "I let the debt go and I release you into a promise." In other words, everything I have is yours. Wow. Not I've just released you what me owed me. I've released the debt, but I've given you everything else too. Wow. It'd be like me saying to Pete, "Okay, I've released you the $100, but hey, come and live in my house. Drive my car. Here's the access to my bank account. That won't do you much good, but here it is."
Hallelujah.
Yeah, woo. Can even ride my push bikes. Colossians 2:14 says he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Come on. Who's feeling a bit rubbish about something you've done, something you've said, something you didn't do, that time you didn't live up to the expectations? Guess what? When you receive, when you're born again, that is nailed to the cross. If you want to look back to the cross, you can see it, but it's nailed. Its power is gone. It no longer controls you. It no longer has power over your future. It no longer has power over your destiny. Fulfillment of the law releases us to the promise. And you know, we know what the burden of a debt is like. If you've had a significant financial debt, you know, one that's a little bit out of control, and you're sort of thinking, "How am I going to manage this? How can I ever pay it back?" And it doesn't go away. It's there. It's there when you go to sleep. It's there when you wake up. It's there when you're having lunch. It is there. And then when something changes, if you deal with that, the weight goes off in an amazing way. Well, the weight and the power of sin is 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times more powerful than any financial debt that you might have. And it's there when you go to sleep. It's there when you wake up. It's there when you're having lunch. It's there when you're talking to your friend. But Jesus cancelled it. It's gone. It's lifted. In Galatians 3, 26 and 29, it says, "For you are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all of you who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Okay, living beyond the cross, number three, means living as an heir or a recipient of God's promise. How good's that? Living beyond the cross means living as an heir or a recipient of God's promise. See, if any of us here were born a natural prince or princess. Any princesses here this morning? Yeah. You strike me as a princess, Carla. Yeah. But you know what? In the natural, if you were born royal, or you were born, you know, into extreme wealth, you would live differently. Because there would be just things that other people battle with or struggle with that wouldn't be an issue to you. And you would walk confidently in that. You might have other problems, but you would walk confidently in that. But we've been released into the promise of God. That means we can walk, we can carry ourselves, and like Carla, know that we're a princess or a prince of the Most High God. Verse 28 and 29 says, "For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are heirs to God's promise. The promise of Abraham belongs to you." Well, what's the promise of Abraham? What's all this about, the promise? And if you go back, you know, we are blessed to be a blessing, just as God promised Abraham. And let me read it to you. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. "I will make you a great nation." This is what God said to Abraham. "I will bless you. I will make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed because of you." Well, guess what? If we live as heirs of the promise, our city will be blessed because of us. Your street will be blessed because of you. Your family will be blessed because of you. This suburb will be blessed because of us. You know, all the areas of Hobart and Tasmania will be blessed because of us if we get hold of the fact that we are heirs to the blessing. As we live in the fullness of God's promise made available to us beyond the cross. And sometimes as Christians, we get stuck. We get stuck at the foot of the cross. We get stuck confessing our sin and thanking for what he has. We need to do that. That is powerful. But you were actually called to be resurrected. This is Resurrection Sunday. You were called to be resurrected with Christ. You were released from the power of the cross, and you are told to live in the promise. So let's not be back at the cross. Let's remember the cross, but let's live beyond the cross and walk and live and talk in the promise. Living beyond the cross means living free. Wow. Come on. I love this, and I actually particularly like this in the Message translation that I'm not reading today, but Galatians 5, 7 and 8 says, "You are running the race so well. Who held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom." The Message says something like, "Hey, you were going so well, who cut in on you? Who stole your joy? Who tried to take away your freedom? And what was happening here is first century Christians were starting to live in freedom. There was the whole church was exploding. There was joy, and people came in and said, "Hey, you're having too much fun. There's too much freedom here. People are getting saved. Wow, you're actually transforming a city. It should be harder than this. So you actually need to start. You need to start looking at the law. You need to go back to the Old Testament and find out how you really do it." And Paul was ruthless with these people. He said that a lot of the people that you're talking to were never Jews. They weren't brought up with Jews. So why put on them something that was never theirs to have and take away their joy? He said, because Jesus came to complete the law. In other words, the law wasn't taken away, but it was made complete. It's like when you finish that project. And back when we used filing cabinets more, you know that it was like everything was documented, it was in place. The manila folder was put together. It's got a stamp on the front of it, complete. The drawer is open, it's put in the filing cabinet, and it's shut. It's job done. That's what Jesus did to the law. It's still there. If you want to go and open the filing cabinet and look in there and find out why it all meant what it meant and what it did, well, great. And you can glean some stuff from that, but it's not controlling you anymore. And we say, "Oh, yeah, that's cool." We don't do that as Christians, don't we? Hey, now you're a Christian. You just got saved. You need to stop. You need to do. And some of that is true because it's discipleship and it's obedience to Christ. But we've actually got to point people to Jesus and allow Him to show them and help them rather than putting the weight of expectation upon people that makes it just too hard because we live in freedom. Number five, living beyond the cross means having permanent access to the presence of God. Come on. Luke 23:44-47, it says, "By now it was noon. The whole earth became dark, the darkness lasting 3 hours, a total blackout. The temple curtain split right down the middle." I think the King James is actually really powerful. It says the curtain was rent or something like that. Have you ever come home and your mother says you have rent your pants? Jesus, this is serious and I'm being silly. Jesus called loudly, "Father, I place my life in your hands." Then he breathed his last. When the captain there saw what had happened, he honoured God. This man was innocent and lived a good life. You see that curtain? That curtain separated the Holy of Holies, which was a place where the tangible presence of God actually resided. And once a year, the high priest went in there and he had to get it all right. He had to go through a whole process. And isn't it amazing that at that moment, it's torn from top to bottom? In other words, that barrier between God and humanity, that barrier between people and the presence of God was just ripped open. So that all of us actually can have access anytime to the presence of God. You can have access no matter where, when, how. You can have access and you have access to the presence of God. The presence of God actually resides with you even when you're not thinking about it. The presence of God is there when you're doing something crazy. The presence of God is with you all the time. And you actually have full access. You are granted the access to walk right into the throne room of God and actually bring Him your requests. Or just to be there. And our kids are starting to grow up in some ways. But, you know, a 10-year-old can be out doing incredible things. He can be performing amazing feats on the sports field. He can be an incredible smart aleck and have all these things going on. But sometimes in the middle of the night, he turns up, well, actually too much, he turns up in our bedroom. Just wants to be in our presence. Why? Because in that moment, he's feeling insecure. Because in that moment, he's not feeling like everything is there. He can be out doing all the stuff, but in that moment, when he's alone in his own place, he actually wants to be in the presence of his parents. Sometimes you've just got to be in the presence of God. Sometimes you're feeling insecure. And it's like, I wish somebody had phoned me up and encouraged me, or I wish a friend had come around, or I wish this had happened, or I wish that had happened. Sometimes you've just got to be in the presence of God. The presence of God actually will help you and make you secure. Because in the presence of God, you're all right. Number six. Gee, I've got a lot of points this morning, haven't I? Living beyond the cross. When I was doing this message, Alex said, you can stop now. Don't make it too long. Living beyond the cross means living from victory. This is my last point this morning. Living from victory. And I say this a lot, and I think we've got to get this. That, you know, when you are born again, when you live beyond the cross, you're not fighting for victory. Have you met somebody, and maybe we're that person sometimes, but some people are always trying to fight for their place, aren't they? You know, you feel like you've got to be defensive. You've got to prove yourself in every situation, wherever you are. And obviously part of growing up is getting a handle around that. But you feel like you've got to fight for your place. You've got to, you're always saying, oh, no, you know, as Christians, we're not fighting. We're not fighting for victory. Because, you know, there was the victory. It is finished. It is complete. The victory was complete. And Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, says this in Romans 8, 37 to 39. He says, no, despite all these things. In other words, someone should say, oh, our victory's not complete. I need breakthrough. I need this because stuff's going wrong. Who's had some stuff go wrong this week? You know, I've had stuff go wrong in the kitchen yesterday. And Alex said, oh, Dave, gee. Maybe you need some counselling. You know, like it's bad, isn't it? You know, the water splashed out of the sink. Oh, it's bad. She was giving me a bit of perspective. But I joke about silly things, but stuff goes wrong. But Paul says, no, despite all these things, your victory isn't determined by what's happening around you. Your victory's not even determined by what's happened to you. Your victory is determined by what Jesus Christ did. So he says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, or even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on. That's what it means to live beyond the cross. It means that we're living in a victory that cannot be taken away from us. It means we're living in a victory that we're no longer fighting for because it has already been won. We have actually been released into that victory. Here's the big question. If you're online, this might be a big question too. Are you a member of God's family? Are you living beyond the cross? Is it just a symbol in history? Is it something that just identifies you with a set of good values? Is it something that looks cool on a chain? Are you an heir to the promise? The promise that God made to Abraham so long ago and was really fulfilled by the cross. Entrance into the kingdom that Christ established is not a result of our first birth. I reckon I was most likely in church in the first week, if not the first 2 weeks of my life. I'm sure I would have been. I would have been taken along by a very proud mum to Old Acres Street Gospel Hall, I'm sure, in Devonport. Probably made my parents happy. Probably the happiest I've ever made them. It went downhill from there. But it didn't make me a Christian. It didn't make me a born again Christian. I was blessed that I was born into a godly family. I was blessed that I had that inheritance. But that did not make me a Christian. The fact that every Sunday after that, probably two times most Sundays, I was in church. That did not make me a Christian. I learned some good stuff. It had an impact on me. Did not make me a Christian. I actually made a decision to be born again. And I know I share a story that so many of you relate to, that so many of you have walked in. Where you are living beyond the cross. And I just want to give an opportunity this morning. You might have been around church. You might have experienced what it is to be in a great community. But can you really say, I live beyond the cross? I've been born again. I've had a spiritual birth. I'm now living as an heir to an amazing promise. That I am blessed, that people will be blessed because of the power of that blessing that lives in me. That I have full access to the presence of God. In my darkest hour, I can find that security. I can find that I am valued, that I am loved. If you've made that decision, you will know. But right now, on this Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is not in a grave. He's not in the books of history. He's at the right hand of the Father. And we're told that he's praying for you. That his arms are open, saying, come to me. You know what? He's not looking to judge you. He's not looking to make you feel silly. He's not wanting to show you what you've done wrong. Why? Because when he looks at you, he said, I don't need to do that, because those things were nailed to a cross. The power of that is gone. Right now, all I need to do is open my arms and say, come. Experience a new birth. Experience a spiritual birth. Step into a promise. Step into freedom. Step into fullness. Step into security. Step into inheritance. Step into a future that nobody can take away from you. If you haven't done that, I want to lead you in a real simple prayer. And that prayer is, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the Son of God. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that my stuff was nailed to a cross with you. I thank you that you paid for it. I thank you you did what it took. But right now, I want to rise into a new life with you. I want you to live inside me. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. Maybe you've been around church. And maybe you like the idea of it, but you've never come to that place. If that's you, just let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a minute. If you're online, just hang in for a minute, because I'm asking the most important question I can ask. Is Jesus part of history, or is he your saviour? Is Jesus somebody you've heard about, or is he your inheritance? Is he your promise? If you'd like to make him that, why don't you pray with me in just a moment? If that's you, just slip your hand up where you are. Say, hey Dave, that's me. You might have been around church for a while. You might have been thinking about it. But on this Resurrection Sunday, the Holy Spirit might be talking to you and saying, hey, I want to welcome you with open arms. If that's you, say, hey Dave, that's me. I want to do that this morning. Maybe there's somebody else here and you think, oh yeah, I've done that, but I'm just, stuff's gone wrong and I'm not feeling close to him now. Again, he's not judging you. He's saying, come back, come back. I want to commit myself afresh to him. If that's you, just give me a wave. Say, hey Dave, that's me. If you're online, please send us a direct message. We'd love to do that. Let's pray together. Just for people that make a decision here this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the Son of God. Thank you that you love me so much that you died for me. I thank you that you paid the price. I thank you that you rose again. Fill me with your presence. Allow me to rise again into a new life. Thank you for your forgiveness. For this day forward, I choose to follow you. Amen. Why don't we just stand, and we're gonna celebrate the resurrection. We're going to celebrate the fact that we live beyond the cross. If you need prayer for anything at all, we'd love to pray for you after the service. We'd love to just declare that you can step into an inheritance, that you are not living under the power or the weight of stuff that has happened, but you are people of promise. We'd love to agree with you and pray with you on things like that. But in a moment, Lizzie's going to come and let us know some things that are happening around church. But before we do that, why don't we just sing and celebrate. And if you need to come and stand and have somebody pray with you, please come forward. Pray.